We'll play it your way, Silver. But that boy better lead us to the treasure.
Is that what I am to you, James, lad? A monster?
Monster?
Why do I feel like I've seen this rock formation before?
We love story!
It's time for the Apple Seed, some time just about every day, filled with stories for you and your family. I'm Sam Payne, your host. It's such a pleasure to have you with us today. You know, we always love when you come and bring these stories into your homes and into your hearts. We always hope that they spark memories and thoughts for you that you can share with the people that you love. That kind of sharing, the sharing of your stories, makes for memories that last a lifetime. These days, we're particularly excited because we've been unfolding for you Treasure Island 2020, the 10-part Peabody-nominated, swashbuckling, time-traveling adventure based on Robert Louis Stevenson's classic novel. And today, we're going to bring you Episode 6 of Treasure Island 2020. We left James and Morgan and Max and Captain Bonnie in the middle of a mutiny. In fact, there was some plank walking that was just about to happen. We're going to find out what happens next in just a few minutes here. We want to remind you that you can find all of the episodes of the entire 10-part series. If you want to hear something that you missed, or you want to listen to something again, or skip ahead, or share it with your friends, just Google Treasure Island 2020. Now, before we get to Treasure Island 2020, Episode 6, we want to talk pirates for just a second. You know, a lot of the pirate stuff you see in the movies, and even in your imagination, comes from Robert Louis Stevenson's novel, Treasure Island. But where did Robert Louis Stevenson get his inspiration? Well, he said that one of his major influences was an enormous book about pirates, published in 1724, about 150 years before Treasure Island was written. The book was called A General History of the Robberies and Murders of the Most Notorious Pirates. It's a heck of a title. And it was published in 2 volumes, and it told the story of some of the most famous pirates of all time. We're talking about Edward Teach. You know him as Blackbeard, who tied matches into his beard and went into battle all ablaze to strike fear into the hearts of his enemies. And we're talking about Bartholomew Roberts, sometimes called Black Bart, who took more than 400 ships between 1719 and 1722. And we're talking about Stede Bonnet, the gentleman pirate, who was a wealthy landowner before he turned to a life of crime. And we're talking about Mary Read and Anne Bonny, who dressed as men to join Calico Jack Rackham's crew, and after a stint as the most famous female pirates of all time, were among the only women to be convicted of piracy in its golden age. Well, we know all about all of those famous pirates from this book, and a lot of other pirate details lodged in our imaginations come from this book as well. And here I'm talking about pirates missing legs or eyes or burying treasure in mysterious locations. Even the idea of the pirate flag with its skull and crossbones being called the Jolly Roger. And one of the most mysterious things about the book is that no one knows for sure who wrote it. The author listed in the book itself is Captain Charles Johnson, but there was no such guy as far as anyone can tell. And some people think it's a fake name for Daniel Defoe, the guy who wrote the famous novel Robinson Crusoe. And some people think it's a fake name for a guy named Charles Johnson, who wrote plays in England and even had a play about a pirate called The Successful Pirate. Anyway, whoever was using the pseudonym knew a lot about the sea and about how sailors live and talk. And some people look on A General History of the Robberies and Murders of the Most Notorious Pirates as the same kind of thing as the true crime documentaries and podcasts that seem so popular right now. Anyway, whoever wrote the book, that book is at the foundation of what we know about that era of piracy that tends to get romanticized in books like Treasure Island. And Robert Louis Stevenson isn't the only famous author that found inspiration in the pages of that book. J.M. Barrie did too, and pointed to A General History of the Robberies and Murders of the Most Notorious Pirates as one of the principal sources of inspiration for the pirates in Peter Pan. Well, we're going to get to Treasure Island 2020, Episode 6, right after a break. I'm Sam Payne. Stick around. Lots of pirate fun to be had. Coming up.
You're listening to The Appleseed. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome back to The Appleseed. Here's Sam Payne.
It's great to have you back with us on today's episode of The Appleseed. Before the break, you heard just a little bit about an old book published in 1724 called A General History of the Robberies and Murders of the Most Notorious Pirates, a book that inspired folks like Robert Louis Stevenson when they were writing Treasure Island. And speaking of Treasure Island, it's time to get now to Treasure Island 2020, Episode 6, when we last left James, Morgan, and Max. They were in the middle of a mutiny. Long John Silver and some of the pirates on the ship have mutinied against Captain Bonnie O'Rourke, and even Max has gone over to the side of the pirates. The rest, well, they've been doomed to walk the plank. And with that as an introduction, here's episode 6. It starts right now.
Silence, all of you. I'm captain here, and I says who lives and who dies.
Do your worst, John Silver. If Captain Bonnie walks the plane, so do I!
And so do I!
Morgan, no.
Then walk ye shall.
Farewell, my young friends. I hope to see you again in a better world.
Wait, you can't do this.
Stay out of this, runt, or you'll be the next to walk that plank.
Walk the plank.
This was not part of the deal, Mr. Silver.
Deals change, Master Max.
You said you wouldn't harm my sister or James.
I'd like to spare him, but your friends seem intent on feeding the sharks.
Feed the sharks? Feed the sharks?
Are you happy, Max? Is this what you wanted?
Of course not. But you can stop this. Don't be a hero, Morgan.
Says the kid who sided with the villains.
I thought I knew you.
This is not on me. I warned you. I warned you both.
What are we waiting for? Get on with it. Send the widow off the plank.
Killing women and children. Is that how you want to be remembered, John Silver?
It's not up to me how I'm remembered once I'm gone. And dead men tell no tales.
You're as bad as Captain Flint. And you'll hang for your treachery. You all will.
Enough of this. You won't make her walk. I will!
Briny, get away from her!
Don't touch me! Go on over the side! Get away from her!
Morgan!
Briny, that's enough!
Get off.
Morgan, no!
Morgan!
Stop it.
The plane's coming! Ah!
Morgan!
BYU Radio presents Treasure Island 2020, a reimagined audio adventure based on the classic novel by Robert Louis Stevenson. Episode 6, Mirror, Mirror.
My sister's in the water with Briny. Somebody do something!
Somebody!
Stop flailing and swim for the ship! Morgan, hang on!
Why? Why did you have to do this?
Mr. Reed, throw them a line!
I give the orders around here.
They'll both drown.
Both drown? Both drown?
Grab it, James! I've got it! I've got the line!
James, what are you doing? Throw it.
If I miss, they're done for. I need to make sure the rope gets to them. My dad taught me to swim in the ocean. He'd never forgive me if I didn't jump!
James!
That lad's got more guts than sense.
And you're going to stand there and let the sharks have them all?
Grab the line! Swim to me! Coming, James!
Look! Out there! Shark!
Shark! Morgan, hurry! Swim to James! Grab
shark,
the line!
Shark!
Somebody do something!
Reed, hand me that musket.
You're going to shoot the shark.
The musket, Mr. Reed.
Here you go, Captain.
Come on, Sharky. Come on.
The shark is almost upon them.
What are you waiting for? Shoot!
Steady.
Don't hit
Steady.
Morgan and James.
Here it comes.
Come on. Bullseye.
You got him. He's turning away.
A fine shot, if I do say so myself.
No, wait. He's coming back around.
Pull him in. No!
I said I give the orders. Pull him in.
No!
Pull the wind, man.
Pull! Pull!
Keep pulling!
Pull! Pull!
Mercy, I can't look.
I'm alive.
So, that happened.
You happy, Silver?
You did the right thing, Silver.
Glad you think so, Mrs. O'Rourke. Lock her and Pip up in the cargo hold with the rest of her loyal crew. The sharks will have to wait for another day.
What? After all that?
Take him away.
You'll regret this, Silver.
I already do.
What about Morgan and James?
Let's see if they can make themselves useful as part of the pirate crew.
I'll never help you.
We'll see. Look lively, mateys. Haul wind and give this leaky old Tom all the sail she's got. We'll stock up on supplies in Jamaica. Then we're bound for the Treasure Island.
You wanted me, Mr. Reed?
Ah, Hawkins. Sam took a longboat ashore to stock up on supplies. Captain Silver says it's your turn at the night watch.
How do you know I won't try to jump ship?
You were almost shark food once today. Doubt you'll be looking to try your chances a second time.
I can't believe you're okay with Captain Bonnie and the others being locked up.
You're better of them than me. I'm gonna grab some shut-eye. Sound the bell if you spot a sea monster.
Here's one right now.
Is that what I am to you, James, lad? A monster.
Monster? Monster?
I'm not supposed to talk while I'm on watch.
I won't tell if you won't. You know, they call it the dog watch, because you sleep like a dog with one eye open for danger.
I wish I'd had both eyes open when you found us on that beach. Maybe then I would have seen you for who you really are. No wonder Billy Bones warned me.
You wound me to the quick, lad. There's plenty worse than me.
Name one.
Captain Flint. Now there was a true baddie. Kill you dead sooner than look at you. I'm lucky to be alive.
And what about you? You're not a baddie?
Me? I'm just out for a bit of fun and fortune. Like you and that father of yours.
My father never lied or cheated.
Aye, he must have been a fine man. But he's gone and I'm here. Come, lad, we can still be mateys, can't we? All for one and one for all.
All for you, you mean?
I can't spend all that treasure. There's enough to go around for me mates.
Incorrigible.
How's that?
That's what my mom called me when I snuck out of the house looking for adventure. She tried to sound mad, but I think a part of her liked it.
And a part of you still likes me, eh, James? You miss your ma, I reckon.
She's never felt further away.
Aye. Nearly 300 years away, I reckon.
How did you...
That fairy tale Max told about the future one, no fairy tale, was it? That's where you three come from.
No,
I suspected something the moment I found you on that beach, in those funny clothes with that wrecked boat of yours. And then I read that book of yours.
You went through my bag?
That little tome was written in 1786, 30 years from now. Very helpful in charting a course to the island. Tell me, James Hawkins, where exactly did you run into my old friend Billy Bones?
I'm not telling you anything.
I'm thinking old Billy got a chance to see those flying ships Max talked about. Bully for him. Once we find the treasure, maybe you'll show me the way home and we'll travel there together, eh, James? You, your friends, and me.
And me. And me.
Hush, Polly. Yes, yes, you too. Till then, it's our little secret.
James, that you?
I think so. I'm too tired to remember. We're sailing again, by the way. Headed for the island.
Are you two awake?
We're not talking to you, Max.
Actually, you are, so...
Whatever. I can't sleep anyway. Now that he knows.
Who knows what?
Long John Silver. He knows where we came from. And when we came from.
Gee, I wonder how.
I didn't tell him, I swear.
Max, be quiet. What do we do now?
Once he finds the gold, he wants to go back with us to the future.
No way.
I told you, we can trust him.
Max, we can't even trust you. A pirate will say anything to get his hands on a treasure chest.
He found the book in my backpack.
The pirate book? Did he find the note? The one that got us here?
I don't think so.
Read it again, James.
If you find this note, then you're looking in the right place. Follow the map, bring the key, and go to the treasure island. But to get here, you can't run from the sea, you must go through it. James, Morgan, and Max, I need you to go all the way through it.
Well, we sure did that.
Whoever wrote that message must have known us back then.
You mean now? But who? Why?
Land ho! Land ho!
Look at what the dawn brings, boys!
Land ho! Land ho!
Oh, there it is! Treasure Island!
We found it. It's really here.
It looks like Jurassic Park.
Drop anchor, Mr. Reed!
Drop anchor.
I can almost count the gold.
Mr. Reed, Sam Moffat, grab 3 more crew members and some shovels. Into the longboat. We're off to find the treasure.
Wait, what about me?
Briny, you stay and guard the ship with the rest of the crew. Where's Master Max?
Right here, Captain.
Attaboy, you'll be at my side.
I will.
You've got the map in your head, don't you?
If it's, all the same to you, I'd rather...
Enter the longboat, Max.
Okay, all right.
Max, don't do this.
Don't you worry, lass. I'll take good care of Max and his big brain. It's gonna make us all rich.
You better, or you'll answer to us.
Aye, James, lad. Cheer up. The future looks bright. As bright as a shiny gold coin. Drop the longboats!
Drop the longboats!
James, we have to do something. Once they find the gold, they'll have no use for Max anymore.
If only we had a map of our own. We could try to find the gold first. Then Silver would have to bargain with us.
Max's cell phone has the photo of Billy Bones' tattoo, but unless we can get it to work...
There must be something in my backpack.
You there! I'm in charge now. Get below or I'll shove you into the hold with that lady captain and the rats, I will.
Yes, sir, Mr. Briny. Whatever you say, sir. You heard him, Morgan. Let's get below. Here. We should be safe behind these crates.
You have something in your backpack that could help?
Pirate book. Billy's brass key.
We still don't know what it unlocks.
Flashlight, metal detector... Of course, that's it.
What is?
Like my father used to say.
Always be prepared for what you're not prepared for. Great, but how does it help us?
My dad took me on a camping trip in Utah once. Our lantern was running low, and it was about to be really dark. We were in the middle of nowhere.
What did you do?
Dad said battery power is battery power, so he used the car to charge the battery on the lantern.
Okay, great. But I'm pretty sure we don't have a car.
But if we take the batteries from these devices, the flashlight, the metal detector...
We can use them to charge up the phone! Wait, can we?
I have a car charger for my gaming system. If I hook it to the positive end of the 9-volt battery...
Hurry! I know Max sided with the pirates, but if something happens to him...
Okay, cord is plugged into Max's phone. Now touch the end to the battery.
What if this doesn't work? What's our plan B?
Plan B? What plan B?
Great. It doesn't work.
Thomas Edison failed 1,000 times before he invented the light bulb.
Not sure that I find that encouraging.
Attempt number 2.
Come on. Come on. Come on! James! It works! It's powering up!
Take that, Thomas Edison! But now, the moment of truth. See if the photo of Billy's tattoo is still there.
It's here! The treasure map! We did it!
They found us! Hide the phone!
Hello, James. Hello, Morgan.
Captain Bonnie! Pip! I thought they locked you in the cargo hold.
They did.
But without a good meal in a couple of days,
I was skinny enough to squeeze through the bars.
She crawled her way out, pried open the hatch, and here we are.
I'm so glad. And here's the treasure map.
Magic.
Science, Pip. It's called a smartphone. Everybody's got one where we come from.
Do you really come from that land that Max described? With flying ships and carriages without horses?
I do.
Unbelievable.
But I want no part of it. I like the world we know, eh, Pip?
Aye, Captain Bonnie. If we live long enough to enjoy it...
We need to find my brother.
Your brother is a traitor.
Hush, Pip. James, can that map get us to the treasure?
As long as the battery holds out.
But even if we get there, how do we take on Silver and his pirates? There's a lot more of them.
It's just a matter of time before they realize you two escaped.
I may have a way around that. Listen close.
Mr. Briny, sir!
I thought I told you to get below, Hawkins.
Yes, sir, Mr. Briny, sir, but the prisoners begged a favor. Morgan, bring him here!
Get along, you, or you'll feel the point of my cutlass.
All right, we're moving.
Ow, that shop!
You let them out? What's the meaning of this?
A word with you, Briny.
That's Mr. Briny to you. Bad enough they leave me to play nursemaid while they get the gold. But I won't take any lip from you.
I don't blame you. I should have stayed on dry land and remarried instead of setting off to sea.
So you see the light, do you?
Yes, I surely do. I could have made a good wife for a man like you, cooking and cleaning like a woman should.
You can cook?
Can she cook? Clam chowder. Herring pie. Potted salmon.
Stop, me mouth is watering. I haven't had a decent meal since Long John Silver traded his kettle for his cutlass.
Now that we're restocked, I'd be honored to whip up something special for you and your crew.
Well, then what are you waiting for? Hawkins, Goodwin, give her all the help she needs.
Yes, sir.
You're the boss, sir.
I promise to make it a meal you won't soon forget.
Now, a word from our sponsor.
If you missed the Pirate Guesses game show last week, you missed an exciting episode as contestant Greybeard worked his way into the jackpot round.
Greybeard, for 5 gold coins, what do you call a type of broken musical chord in which the notes that comprise the chord are played in a rising or descending order?
Arpeggio.
That's right. Next question. For 10 gold coins, which South American country has a mainland surface area of 1,073,518 square miles?
Argentina.
Another correct answer. Now to win the weekly jackpot, a bucket of gold coins. Greybeard, in the English alphabet, what letter do we find between the letters Q and S?
W?
Oh, I'm sorry. The correct answer is R.
Shiver me timbers.
Tune in to the Pirate Guesses game show. You never know what's going to happen.
And now, back to the show.
I ain't set foot, nor peg, on this here sand since I sailed with Captain Flint. Nor, I reckon, has any man living. Leave the longboat on the beach. Let's get started. Max?
Coming. I'm sorry, Morgan.
Master Max, don't you go looking back at that ship. James and Morgan are safe. They'll be thanking you when we find the gold.
Thanking me, sure.
If we find it. I didn't turn traitor and risk the noose to bleach my bones on this island.
You'll do like I say and enjoy it, Mr. Reed. That goes for the rest of you. Understood?
Yes, sir.
We'll play it your way, Silver. But that boy better lead us to the treasure, and soon.
Master Max, lead on.
Okay, let's see. The cave is over there, so we're heading this way, into the jungle.
Eat up, gentlemen. There's more where this came from.
It's good, right, Briny?
Oh, delicious. You're a wonder, Widow O'Rourke.
She is a wonder, all right.
As are you, Morgan.
It's delicious.
James, Morgan, Pip, you heard him. Give them all they can eat, and more.
More for everyone.
Yes, yes. Why am I so tired?
It worked. They're out, Captain Bonnie.
I forgot to tell them. I put a special spice in the chowder. Just a little nightshade to help them sleep like babies.
Big, ugly, scary babies. When they wake up, they'll be even worse.
When they wake up, we'll be on the island looking for gold.
And they'll be tied up with rope and locked down below deck.
Morgan, James, take the rowboat. Pip and I will free what's left of our loyal crew and guard this bunch. But be quick about it.
We'll do our best, Captain.
If Silver and his cutthroats return with the gold, we may not be able to stop them from seizing the ship again. And this time, they won't hesitate to make us all walk the plank.
Don't worry. We'll be back with Max and the treasure.
Then, we'll sail away and leave Silver and his pirates alone on the island where they belong.
Grab your backpack, James.
Got it. But we have to hurry. They had a big head start, and Max's cell phone is running out of juice.
Blast this heat! The bottoms of me feet are burning!
Won't be long now, eh, Max?
This way around the rock, there's supposed to be a stream here. Oh! Oh! Oh, it's a human skull!
Let's see that. Ah, this once belonged to a fella named Smitty, crewman on the Walrus. He made a joke about Captain Flint's sister. This is all Flint left of him, as a warning.
A warning?
Pay Smitty no mind, Master Max. Just tell us where to go. We must be close, right?
I think so.
Maybe the boy's memory isn't what he claimed it to be.
I swear we came this way before.
We've been walking in circles.
I don't understand. Everything's different from the map.
Well, maybe you're trying to pull something.
Never did trust them kids. And I said so I did.
Captain Silver, the map is clear in my head. We're following it perfectly.
I believe you, lad. But best get some wind in your sails and find where X marks the spot, or me and Polly may be your only friends.
Only friends! Only
Choose friends. Wisely, boy. Our patience is running out.
This way. I'm sure I'm right.
For your sake, Master Max, I hope so.
Why do I feel like I've seen this rock formation before?
Should be left up here below the cliff. No, wait, right.
You do know how to read a map, right?
Of course I know how to read a map. Maybe just not this map?
Great. Max and the pirates have probably already found the gold.
Wait, Morgan, what is that?
It's a tree, James.
No! That, leaning against the cliff.
It looks like a ladder? But how could that be?
Maybe Flint's men built it.
When?
I don't...
Shh! James, listen.
Quick, hide behind this tree before they see us.
It's a palm tree, James. It's not gonna hide much.
Just hide!
How have they not found the gold yet?
They look as lost as we are.
There's Max!
Shh!
We've been walking all day, sun's gone down, no water, no rest, and no treasure.
I don't know. Max looks scared.
The pirates look angry.
We'll rest in the shade of them palm trees, then start again.
Start where?
I followed the map, I swear I did.
And I swore...
This looks really bad for Max.
Children.
And for us.
I swore I'd follow Captain Bunny. I swore lots of things, but gold is my gospel now, and you're in my way.
What are you saying, Mr. Reed?
I'm saying we leave this worthless urchin behind and find the treasure ourselves.
So that's how it is it?
Aye, that's how it is.
We need to
We're
do
done
something,
taking
Hawkins.
Orders from the sea.
Yeah,
look,
but what?
Look there!
Oh no, James, he's seen us.
A pair of footprints.
Sam's right. Someone was here before us and tried to cover up their tracks.
They lead that way, opposite direction from where we've been walking.
Now wait, what if it's a trick? What if someone's trying to keep us from the treasure?
The only one who's kept us from the treasure is you and the boy. Let's go, men! To the treasure!
To the treasure!
And take the boy with you, just in case Silver gets any ideas.
Max, what are you doing? Come back!
I have to go save him!
Shh! They'll hear you!
That's the point! Come here, you scurvy!
There's nothing we can do right now. We'll just get captured too. Is that what you want?
But what if they hurt him?
Can I take my hand off your mouth now?
Mm-hmm. What if they hurt him?
I don't think Long John Silver will let that happen.
You don't think? I hate to say it, but I'm missing home right now. Hawkins, do you hear that?
It's someone singing the Star Spangled Banner.
The national anthem wasn't written until after the War of 1812. We're in 1756.
Whoever it is, he's coming out of the trees.
Welcome, welcome, visitors. You're not pirates, are you? No, you can't be too small to be pirates. The pirates went that way, the wrong way. I made sure of that.
It was you. You left those footprints.
Walked that way, then this way, then that way, and climbed up a tree. Smart, eh? Smarter than a bunch of salty dog buccaneers, that's for sure. And the rocket's red glare.
James, who is that strange man? How did he get here?
He looks like he's been here a long time.
Speak up, you two. No need to whisper. There's already enough whispering coming from the sea. You're wondering who I am and how I got here? Don't let the long hair and beard scare you. Ben Gunn's my name, and this is my island.
Yours?
Possession is 9/10 of the law, after all. Google it if you don't believe me.
Google? Did you say...
James, is he from...
the future?
Well, don't just stand there. Follow me!
James, what do we do?
What choice do we have?
There's so much to do.
We follow Ben Gunn.
Treasure Island 2020, Episode 6. What a pleasure to bring you Treasure Island 2020 and, of course, all the stories that we bring you on the Appleseed. Find more Treasure Island 2020 at our website, byuradio.org/appleseed. You'll find an archive there of all of the episodes of the show, hundreds of episodes, thousands of stories for your listening pleasure anytime you like. And, of course, you can find Treasure Island 2020 as its own podcast. Just go wherever you get your favorite podcasts and enter Treasure Island 2020. You'll find us. For now, stick around. There's a lot more coming up on the Appleseed, a lot more pirate fun, including, remember that guy you met right at the end of the episode? That guy who seemed to have come back in time, just like the kids? That guy named Ben Gunn? Well, we're going to learn about him a little bit more. The Ben Gunn that Robert Louis Stevenson gave us in the original Treasure Island novel. It's coming up. I'm Sam Payne.
You're listening to The Appleseed. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome back to The Appleseed. Here's Sam Payne.
It's great to have you back with us on today's episode of The Appleseed. Before the break, you heard Treasure Island 2020, Episode 6, an episode of the 10-part series that you can find by Googling Treasure Island 2020. In fact, you can find all 10 episodes of Treasure Island 2020. If you want to go back and catch something you missed or share it with a friend or even skip ahead to find out what happens next, if you just can't wait, and who could blame you, right? Just Google Treasure Island 2020. Now, in today's episode, James and Morgan escape barely with their lives
And in the jungles of the island, they meet a crazy guy named Ben Gunn. He seems to have traveled back in time, just like them. Now,
in Robert Louis Stevenson's original novel, Ben Gunn appears too. He's not a time traveler, but he has been marooned on the island. He's been there for some time. Jim Hawkins discovers him, having only just escaped from the mutiny of Long John Silver and his buccaneers, and come ashore and run through the woods, and now, well, he's lost. Here's the scene from Robert Louis Stevenson's Treasure Island, in which Jim Hawkins meets Ben Gunn. From the side of the hill, which was here steep and stony, a spout of gravel was dislodged and fell rattling and bounding through the trees. My eyes turned instinctively in that direction, and I saw a figure leap with great rapidity behind the trunk of a pine. What it was, whether bear or man or monkey, I could in no wise tell. It seemed dark and shaggy. More I knew not, but the terror of this new apparition brought me to a stand. I was now, it seemed, cut off upon both sides. Behind me the murderers, before me this lurking nondescript. And immediately I began to prefer the dangers that I knew to those I knew not. Silver himself appeared less terrible in contrast with this creature of the woods. And I turned on my heel, and looking sharply behind me over my shoulder, began to retrace my steps in the direction of the boats. Instantly, the figure reappeared, and making a wide circuit, began to head me off. I was tired at any rate, but had I been as fresh as when I rose, I could see it was in vain for me to contend in speed with such an adversary. From trunk to trunk the creature flitted like a deer, running manlike on two legs, but unlike any man I'd ever seen, stooping almost double as it ran. Yet a man it was. I could no longer be in doubt about that. I began to recall what I had heard of cannibals. I was within an ace of calling for help, but the mere fact that he was a man, however wild, had somewhat reassured me, and my fear of Silver began to revive in proportion. I stood still, therefore, and cast about for some method of escape, and as I was so thinking, the recollections of my pistol flashed into my mind. As soon as I remembered I was not defenseless, courage glowed again in my heart, and I set my face resolutely for this man of the island, and walked briskly toward him. He was concealed by this time behind another tree trunk, but he must have been watching me closely, for as soon as I began to move in his direction, he reappeared and took a step to meet me. Then he hesitated, drew back, came forward again, and at last, to my wonder and confusion, threw himself on his knees and held out his clasped hands in supplication. At that, I once more stopped. "Who are you?" I asked.
"Ben Gunn," he answered,
and his voice sounded hoarse and awkward like a rusty lock.
"I'm poor Ben Gunn, I am, and I haven't spoke with a Christian these 3 years."
I could now see that he was a man like myself and that his features were even pleasing. His skin, wherever it was exposed, was burnt by the sun. Even his lips were black, and his fair eyes looked quite startling in so dark a face. Of all the beggar men that I had seen or fancied, he was the chief for raggedness. He was clothed with tatters of old ship's canvas and old sea cloth, and this extraordinary patchwork was all held together by a system of the most various and incongruous fastenings and brass buttons, bits of stick, and loops of tarry gaskin. About his waist, he wore an old brass-buckled leather belt, which was the one thing solid in his whole accoutrement. 3 years, I cried. "Were you shipwrecked?"
"Nay, mate," said he, "marooned."
I had heard the word, and I knew it stood for a horrible kind of punishment, common enough among the buccaneers, in which the offender is put ashore with a little powder and shot and left behind on some desolate and distant island.
"Marooned 3 years agone," he continued, "and lived on goats since then, and berries and oysters, Wherever a man is, says I, a man can do for himself, but, mate, my heart is sore for Christian diet. You mightn't happen to have a piece of cheese about you, would you? No? Well, many's the long night I've dreamed of cheese, toasted mostly, and woke up again, and here I were.
If ever I can get aboard again, said I, you shall have cheese by the stone. All this time he had been feeling the stuff of my jacket, smoothing my hands, looking at my boots, and generally in the intervals of his speech, showing a childish pleasure in the presence of a fellow creature.
Jim, looking all around him and lowering his voice to a whisper now, I'm rich.
I now felt that the poor old fellow had gone crazy in his solitude, and I suppose I must have shown the feeling in my face, for he repeated the statement hotly.
Rich! Rich, I says. And I'll tell you what, I'll make a man of you, Jim. Ah, Jim, you'll bless your stars, you will. You was the first that found me.
And at this, there came suddenly a lowering shadow over his face, and he tightened his grasp upon my hand and raised a forefinger threateningly before my eyes.
Now, Jim, you tell me true. That ain't Flint's ship, he asked.
At this, I had a happy inspiration. I began to believe that I had found an ally, and I answered him at once. It's not Flint's ship, and Flint is dead. But I'll tell you true if you ask me. There are some of Flint's hands aboard. Worse luck for the rest of us.
Not a man with one leg, he gasped.
Silver, I says.
Ha ha ha, Silver, says he, that were his name. He's the cook, and the ringleader, too.
He was still holding me by the wrist, and at that he gave it quite a ring.
If you was sent by Long John, he said, I'm as good as poor, can I know it? But where was you, do you suppose?
I had made my mind up in a moment, and by way of answer, told him the whole story of our voyage, and the predicament in which we found ourselves. He heard me with the keenest interest, and when I had done, he patted me on the head.
You're a good lad, Jim, he said, and you're all in a clove hitch, ain't you? Well, you just put your trust in Ben Gunn. Ben Gunn's the man to do it. Now, I'll tell you what, he went on, so much I'll tell you and no more. I were in Flint's ship when he buried the treasure. He and six strong seamen. They was ashore nigh on a week, and us standing off on in the old Walrus. One fine day, up went the signal, and here come Flint by himself in a little boat, and his head done up in a blue scarf. The sun was getting up, and mortal white he looked about the cutwater. But there he was, you mind, and the six all dead and buried. How he done it, not a man aboard us could make out. It was a battle, murder, and sudden death, leastways him against six. Billy Bones was the mate. Long John, he was quartermaster. And they asked him where the treasure was. Ah, says he, you can go ashore if you like and stay, he says. But as for the ship, she'll beat up for more, by thunder. That's what he said. Well, I was in another ship 3 years back, and we sighted this island. Boys, said I, there's Flint's treasure. Let's land and find it. Well, the captain was displeased at that, but my messmates were all of a mind and landed. 12 days they looked for it, and every day they had the worse word for me, until one fine morning all hands went aboard. As for you, Benjamin Gunn, says they, there's a musket, they says, and a spade and pickaxe. You can stay here and find Flint's money for yourself, they says. Well, Jim, 3 years have I been here, and not a bite of Christian diet from that day to this. But now, you look here, look at me. Do I look like a man before the mast?
No,
says you, nor I weren't neither, I says.
And with that, he winked and pinched me hard.
Just you mention them words to your squire, Jim, he went on, nor he weren't neither. That's the words. 3 years he were the man of this island, light and dark, fair and rain,
And sometimes he would maybe think upon a prayer, says you, and sometimes he would maybe think of his old mother. So be as she's alive, you'll say. But the most part of Gunn's time, this is what you'll say, the most part of his time was took up with another matter. And then you'd give him a nip like I do. And he pinched me again in the most confidential manner. Then, he continued, then you'll up and you'll say this. Gunn is a good man, you'll say. And he puts a precious sight more confidence, a precious sight, mind that, in a gentleman born than in these gentlemen of fortune, having been one himself. Well, I said, I don't understand one word that you've been saying, but that's neither here nor there, for how am I to get on board? Yeah, says he, that's the hitch for sure. Well, there's my boat that I made with my two hands. I keep her under the White Rock. If the worst come to the worst, we might try that after dark. Hey, he broke out. What's that? For just then, although the sun had still an hour or two to run, all the echoes of the island awoke and bellowed to the thunder of a cannon.
Ben Gunn, from the classic Robert Louis Stevenson novel, Treasure Island. Now, we're going to wrap up today with a story told for us by Pam Farrow. Pam is a storyteller who lives in Colorado, and the story that she's going to share with us is a story that begins when Rabbi Abraham Ben Ezra is kidnapped by pirates. Now, while most of this very old story is probably made up, it's about a real guy, Abraham ben Ezra. Rabbi Abraham ben Ezra was one of the most distinguished Jewish philosophers of the Middle Ages. He was born near the end of the 11th century and died in the middle of the 12th century. And this is just one old story about that philosopher, Abraham ben Ezra and the bishop, here on the Appleseed.
They say that once, when the famous philosopher Rabbi Abraham ben Ezra was sailing at sea, well, his ship was captured by pirates, and they brought it to a port, took all of its cargo, and sold all the passengers into slavery. Yes, even Rabbi Abraham ben Ezra. Now, this was a time and a place when slavery was a common practice among people of all faiths and traditions. And there, a Christian bishop standing in the marketplace saw Rabbi Abraham among the captives, could see that he was a Jew, and thought to himself, well, the Jews are known to be a wise people. I could only benefit from having such a servant or slave in my household. And so the bishop bought him, brought Abraham back to his residence, gave him food to eat, a place to sleep, and a workload that wasn't too heavy. And indeed, even with the hard circumstances Rabbi Abraham found himself in, there formed a kind of mutual respect between the two men. And they would have conversations, walks, and discussions together from time to time. Well, one day, the king of that land decided to appoint someone to the position of viceroy. Wishing to know if the bishop, whom he had never met, was suited for this position, the king sent to the bishop the following message. I'm going to ask you, bishop, three questions in my presence. If you can answer them, I will make you my viceroy. If you cannot, I will have you beheaded, because I have no need of fools in my kingdom. These questions are, first, in which direction does God face? Second, what is my worth? And third, what am I thinking? And there the message ended. Well, when the bishop had finished reading the king's letter, his mind reeled and his heart sank. He did not eat or drink or sleep all that night. He tossed and turned. He could nearly feel the axeman's axe coming towards his neck. He didn't even dream of becoming the king's viceroy. Well, in the morning, Rabbi Abraham ben Ezra saw him, saw his pale face, his drawn look, and said, "My lord bishop, why are you looking so poorly?" "What can I tell you, Jew?" said the bishop. "I am in a terrible, terrible predicament, most dangerous." And then he told Rabbi Abraham about the message and what he was facing. Rabbi Abraham ben Ezra stroked his beard, thought for 2 or 3 moments, and then said to the bishop, "Lend me your robe, and let me answer the king for you. And I believe that you can set your mind at rest." Well, the bishop didn't know whether to be relieved or not, but he took off his robe, gave it to Rabbi Abraham, and sent him off with his blessing. Now, Rabbi Abraham first stopped at the marketplace on his way to the king's palace, and he bought a small crucifix for 10 copper pieces and continued on to the king's palace. And there he was escorted into the king, who, thinking he was the bishop, for the king had never met the bishop or laid eyes on him, said, "Well, my lord bishop, do you have the answers to my questions?" "Indeed I do, your majesty," said Rabbi Abraham, wearing the bishop's robes. "Very well, then," said the king. "You can begin by answering the first question. In what direction does God face?" Well, Rabbi Abraham said, "First, in answering the question, may I please have a candle?" And a candle was brought into him, and then he lit the candle, and Rabbi Abraham asked the king in what direction the candle was giving light. "Why, you can see it for yourself," said the king. "It gives light in all directions." "Well," said Rabbi Abraham, "God does the same, for his glory fills all of creation." "Huh! Well said! Well said!" said the king. "Well, and now for the second question. Tell me, what is my worth?" "Well," said Rabbi ben Ezra, whom the king, of course, thought was the bishop, "I would have to say that your worth, my lord king, is 9 copper pieces." Everyone in the king's court was enraged at this answer. They wanted to lay hands on this man who was so impudent to his majesty. And the king held them back, but he too was astonished and asked the man who he thought was the bishop, "How can that be? How can you say 9 copper pieces when I have treasure houses full of gold and silver and precious stones and a kingdom with fertile fields and vineyards and no end of goods and property?" "Your majesty," said the philosopher, "look at this crucifix of your God that I hold in my hand. I just bought it this morning for 10 copper pieces. Can the worth of a mortal king be the same as or greater than that of his God? I could not, in faith, say that you were worth as much as 10 copper pieces. But since we all know that kingliness is probably just below godliness, I subtracted only 1 and declare you to be worth 9. The king threw back his head, slapped his knee, and laughed. "Well said," he said again. "This is clever. Well, now for my last question. Tell me, bishop, if you can, what am I thinking?" "Well," replied Rabbi Ben Ezra. You're thinking, Your Majesty, that I am the bishop. But in fact, I am the furthest thing from him, for I am a Jew. I am a Jew who was sold by pirates into slavery, and I now stand before you. The king was astounded, and he said, Well, it is you that I shall appoint to be my viceroy. I shall make you honored and wealthy and renowned. Your Majesty, said Rabbi Abraham Ben Ezra, I have no interest in honor, in wealth, or in renown. My one request is to be allowed to return home and to be with my family. And so, the king agreed to this, gave him his freedom, showered him with gifts, and sent him home. And so it was that Rabbi Abraham ben Ezra did indeed return home safely, and he lived to write many books of learning and of poetry.
Rabbi Abraham ben Ezra and the Bishop, a story told for you by Pam Farrow, a story that begins when Rabbi Abraham ben Ezra is kidnapped by pirates. It's been a pleasure to share this story with you, and of course, an episode of Treasure Island 2020 as well. You can find all of the episodes of the 10-part podcast wherever you get your favorite podcast. You just Google Treasure Island 2020 to find, again, all 10 episodes for you to listen to anytime you like. I'm Sam Payne. The audio engineer of the Appleseed is Stuart Foster. Our producer is Jeff Simpson. It's been such a pleasure to be with you today, as it always is. Thanks so much for joining us. And of course, we hope you join us again next time for Treasure Island 2020, Episode 7. We'll see you then.
Thanks for joining us for an hour of stories, music, and conversation made for you and your family and brought to you by The Appleseed. The show is a production of BYU Radio. We'll see you next time.